Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Okay, you'll have to indulge me here for a second. I just wanted to thank all of our Patreon listeners for signing up to support this podcast. We really couldn't do this 4 days a week without your financial support every month. So don't forget, if you're not subscribed on Patreon, you're missing out on an amazing community of listeners. It's actually, you know, the best place to contact me in person is on our Patreon page. And we continue to post exclusive Patreon-only content, like our postmortem shows twice a week, as well as the Friday After Party podcast and commercial-free versions of the Tuesday and Thursday shows. So get going. FOMO is real. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You're listening to American Top 40 on WKRM 1340, where we're getting involved with you. Shit.
Go through and cut them again, just saying WKRM 1340.
Oh, fuck. The countdown will begin this Saturday morning at 9 and again Sunday morning at 9 right here on Maine's most listened to radio station, I'm not going to say all that shit. How do I know they're the most listened to station?
Oh, and take their word for it. Okay, drop it out and just say right here on...
No, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't... Okay. The countdown will begin this Saturday morning at 9 and again Sunday morning at 9 right here on Radio... Oh, shit. Right here on what? On...
Right here on WYG.
All right. Wait, WX? L-O, New York. The people. You're listening... What the fuck is this? Here we go. The countdown will begin this Saturday night at 7 and again Sunday evening at... Jesus. The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 12 right here on Center County's most popular radio station, WRSC, Radio 1390. Fuck it. This is Casey Kasem inviting you to join me for American Top 40 immediately following the Trailblazer game on 1390 KSLM Salem. Hey, what the fuck am I doing? Promos inside the fucking game.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Hey. The Bob Seska Show.
And I recorded an indie music countdown yesterday, and well, that was kind of me yesterday. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 1, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 133 of the Biden-Harris administration, 524 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And look who's back with his dad jokes.
You say Bob's birthday.
Here he is.
You've said it all.
How are you, my friend? Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm all right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for all the kind thoughts over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
It's great, great, great to be back. Mm-hmm. And just to refresh, he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we're here to audit the listeners. I'm skeptical of the numbers.
Yes, I know.
Did you have a nice Memorial Day, Bob?
Oh, it was great. So relaxing, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I had a good one, too. Mm. And, you know, unofficial start of summer. The CDC's out with new guidance for summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
Unvaccinated kids, as I understand it, unvaccinated kids won't get friendship bracelets and they get no help with swim lessons. Also in the news, the plan to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol, I notice, have gone from a bipartisan to partisan curious. And Arizona is sprucing up its long unused gas chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's where they're going to kill democracy.
We're going to talk about that in a second, too.
That's this week's joke that isn't funny but had to be said. I see the price of a postage stamp is going up from 55 cents to 58 cents.
Yep.
Apparently, that extra 3 cents is going to pay for Louis DeJoy's flight to Venezuela.
Please, please let that happen. Yeah.
The sooner the better. Mm-hmm. Did you see the big Friends reunion on HBO Max?
We watched it last night from start to finish. Yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah. It was great. I mean, everybody was there except for the guy who played Kramer. And I couldn't. I don't know.
Wrong show about Friends. Yeah.
I don't get it. UFOs are in the news again. I know you've got a thing or two to say about that. And a big government report's coming out today. And there's a tremendous bipartisan. This is one thing both parties right now can agree on is let's get to the bottom of these unidentified flying objects. Well, yeah. Like a lot of people, I'm hoping it's true. I think it would be great if we get visitors from other worlds because, you know, we'd like to meet up with some form of intelligent life.
The Bob Seska Show.
All right. Brand new from Rocky Mountain Mike right here.
Picking up the pieces of those Trump senile minds. No wonder it's the old folks on his side. There were these guys in Oklahoma, don't recall their names. Rename this old road, or so they tried.
Brain-free highway.
Let me just say that they're fools.
Brain-free highway.
They've seen better days. The Trump fans, they just drool from their heads down to their shoes.
Brain-free highway.
Let me just say that. Just say that they're fools.
All right. Hey, nice little instrumental outro to that one. Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky_Mountain_Mike on the Instagram. Go and follow him now. Thank you, Mike. Oh, man. And that, of course, is going to lead us right into our first topic of conversation here in just a second. Mike Flynn at that Q convention. But before we get into all of that, this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, uh-huh. I was among my first group of people without wearing a mask. I don't know if that's how you say it. I did a terrible job of describing it just there. But I went and saw my family down in Virginia, and we all were hanging out inside without a mask.
A lot of us
and
did.
For me, it was the first time I had ever done it, Buzz. I had never been around other people, I mean, other than Kimberly, without a mask. I have to say, it was really, really weird. Ultimately, we all got along and everything was fine. Yeah. But the whole time I'm going, ugh.
Yeah, you have a social anxiety to begin with.
Yeah,
and,
a little bit.
And I share a little bit of that with you.
And
of course, the caution from a health standpoint. It is... You know, it's weird because we still have to remain vigilant. We still have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are still variants out there that can rise up, and we may see rises in infections.
Yeah.
But right now, the latest numbers I've seen, infections are down 90% January.
Yeah.
90%.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Since January. Gee, what else happened in January that would be of historical significance?
Pretty damn huge. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's a direct consequence of that. I mean, it's amazing what competency will achieve given a short period of time and the right people to carry it out. And this is where we are. It was so strange for a number of reasons. And it's not necessarily that I was afraid. It was just after a year of tiptoeing around and not going out to finally be in someone else's house
among people who I knew, of course. There were only six of us, but including myself, including Kimberly. But it was just so strange to look across and see people not wearing masks and then to realize, oh, I'm not wearing a mask either. And it was just, it was the adjustment of it, the sudden, like we're jumping back into the deep end and the ice cold water, and there we are.
Our habits have changed, and hopefully some of our new habits will stick, and some we can drop away comfortably. It is weird. That it's just the change, and we had done that for so long, we actually got used to a different way of life, and now we're able to adjust it to something that's a little more comfortable.
Exactly.
Although we must, as I said, remain vigilant and somewhat cautious. I'm still not going into a store or restaurant where it's crowded.
That's right.
Indoors. I'm just not going to do that and 'cause I don't trust so many people, and especially in some parts of the country. So, we have to continue to be careful, but it is nice to be able to loosen up again. But it is, like you said, also weird to make yet another adjustment. And this one, in some ways, is maybe harder to make than the one. It was almost easy to lock down and mask up. It might be a little harder to creep back out again, you know, from a psychological standpoint.
Well, that's it. That was my explanation yesterday when the plan was. In fact, it wasn't yesterday. It was on Sunday. I was driving home from my mom's house, and my brother and my sister-in-law were going to stop off in Northern Virginia and have lunch with my dad. And I'm just not ready for a restaurant. I had to call my dad and say, look, I'd really love to come and have lunch with you guys, but I'm not ready to go and sit around in a restaurant without a mask. And it wasn't necessarily anything having to do with the science. It was more about the psychology. It was a little bit too much jumping back into the swing of things all in one big chunk. And it was just like going to a restaurant and sitting down like at a diner would have been just so nerve-wracking for me. So, I explained to my dad, well, you know, in the coming weeks, I'll start to reacclimate myself to the notion that I don't necessarily have to tiptoe around people thinking about them breathing poison on me.
It depends. I, of course, needed to attend a funeral, and I don't know who was vaccinated and who wasn't. I could make some guesses. I know that I have been for some time now, so I feel relatively safe for myself, but I will continue to mask up around others, strangers, certainly, because I don't want to spread anything I may have picked up, even if it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
So, I may well have been exposed to it or somebody, along the way. It was pretty unavoidable in my circumstance, but I powered through because there was no alternative, and we'll hope for the best, and I'll continue to remain vigilant.
So how are you? How are you doing? I mean, you've had a hell of a couple of weeks.
You know, this is worth mentioning. Yeah. Maybe this is meaningful to people. I have not so much cried at the passing of my father as I have at the kindness of people. The moments that I've broken down were not because, you know, Dad was 92, he was old, he was tired, he didn't want to play anymore, I get it. Yeah. And it's not like we didn't see this coming. So in that respect, as we like to say, he's at peace. So I'm cool with that, you know, all things considered. What breaks me up is when, people turn up that I hadn't heard from for a while, and the outpouring of kindness from, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on social media, many of whom don't even know me, but, it really is just, that's what really knocks me over is the kindness of people. And so I'm fine, as long as the internet stays up, because I could go out.
Oh, shit. What just happened? Oh, fuck. You know what? You scared the hell out of me right there.
It's fun to play with buttons, but I'm, as you can see, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I have to tell you this with all sincerity.
Yes.
The way you handle, I think throughout this past year, especially the way you've handled the situation with your parents is so admirable. And I said to you via text last week as you were going through all this stuff, I said, what's really amazing is you are bionic when it comes to dealing with this kind of a family emergency. And I say that with all admiration intact, well, because, and that's absolutely that. A compliment. But I think sometimes when you see someone who is, you know, really strong and able to handle situations like this, we almost pull back and go, well, they've got it. They've got everything under control.
I'm one of those people. Yeah.
Well, but the fact, though, that so many people came out and were offering their moral support to you throughout that crisis, I think is symbolic of their admiration for you, and not necessarily because, I mean, sometimes when someone's really good at doing something, people don't want to necessarily, don't feel as though they have to offer that kind of support, but yet they did anyway. And that says a lot about our listeners here and our supporters.
I get that. And it may have given me a kind of strength, but at the same time, I believe that in nearly all of us, maybe all of us, there's something that knows when to rise up, and you know, it knows when it's time to step up. And at some point, whether you might think you can't do it, oh my goodness, I dreaded this day of my father's passing. Oh, I feared and dreaded it, but then when it came. I realized, because I'd handled other affairs of my folks, that I got this, you know, I got this, and I did. But I, you know, I could well have drawn some strength from all the support that we got. But sometimes you just got to step up. And I think that's true for most anybody. We see it in movies all the time where, you know, the mild, meek person, you know, suddenly becomes a superhuman in their ability to tackle a problem. And I think people, when it's absolutely necessary, have that ability to rise up. I didn't think I had any choice, because if I didn't, people were going to say, that jerk, that complete, you know, and I just didn't want to do anything that would qualify for that label. So I tried to do all the right things.
And again, it's also a testament to the people who love us and support us, our friends, our listeners, everyone.
And
I know how important that kind of support is. I mean, just as an example, we were talking about this before the show, in fact. On Friday, both Kimberly and I were feeling really shitty about the state of affairs in the world, and there were some other things going on, and you know, we plowed through the after party on Friday, and we were feeling really crappy afterwards, and I got a message from someone on Twitter that was posted publicly on Twitter. It was a very, very complimentary message, someone just thanking us for doing the show, and they mentioned you and your monologue, and you know, Jody Hamilton, David, Kimberly, and it just made me feel really good. And so when people post things like that, it is never lost on us. It is always immensely appreciated. And sometimes we come off as being, well, we don't give a shit about what you say, but actually we kind of do a little bit. So I got to thank you all for that.
Like Jody's mom, Carol Burnett, you have wisely surrounded yourself, I think, with a pretty good stable of talent. So that's a testament to you. But you're right. That support, especially when it comes at the right time, but just in general, that's kind of our fuel. This is not as lucrative a proposition as you might expect it to be financially. So to some degree, we rely on that sort of kindness and support, and we're so grateful for it, because it's definitely reared its head more than once.
See also my auto repair story from earlier last week, where I had my passenger side car door just stopped opening. I just couldn't open it, and then I had it was just a whole ordeal. And I was talking about my 2008 Mazda 3, which rolled off the line during the Bush administration, and so you know, I think that was kind of symbolic of what you just said. But yeah, so we thank everybody for listening and offering your support, especially to Buzz in the past couple of weeks, certainly the past 6 months when you've been going through this whole ordeal with your folks. So it's been received and very much appreciated. So thank you all. Okay, so we had some interesting events occur over the past weekend, over the Memorial Day weekend. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris and the Red Hat Entertainment Complex freak out here in just a second.
Long weekend.
But there was apparently a Q convention, which, first of all, there was a Q convention. I mean, these guys, Q is a couple of pranksters from the Philippines, who are American expats living in the Philippines. And all these people insist that it's real, and they're having a convention about it, and it's really Ron and... Who's the other guy? Ron and Jim Watkins, who are actually Q, and they don't have anything to do with the deep state or the federal government or Trump or anything.
Right, and yet, 20% of Americans, one in five of all of us, believe that a storm is coming to remove the evil that controls the government. And 28% of Republicans believe that.
Yeah.
So as much as I'd love for this to be, as much as I've wished for this to be a fringe conspiracy, it has taken a substantial hold on a substantial part of the American populace.
Yeah.
And it is... terribly frightening because how do you reverse ignorance, which is where this is based? I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to address it, and other than to crush it politically, and you know, I think I speak for nearly everyone on the progressive side when I say it's time to stop playing nice in Washington, and it's time to put pedal to the metal and get the stuff done. Because there is no, other than UFOs, there is no bipartisanship.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And here's the thing. You might recall some time ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, Mike Lindell was going around, the MyPillow guy, going around saying that, Donald Trump was going to somehow get reinstated in the presidency in August.
August, yes.
Right, and we kind of all laughed at that. Oh, Mike Lindell, you crazy person. But this is starting to kind of, in a strange way, materialize a little bit. Let me explain how it actually is coming about, how August is now kind of turning into something that we need to keep an eye on. Mike Flynn, we're talking about this Q convention over the weekend. Mike Flynn at this thing called for a Myanmar-style coup in the United States. And first of all, let's talk about what happened in Myanmar. What happened there was anything but democratic. So you talk about the Red Hats, you talk about the Republican Party and the performative love of democracy that they claim to have. That's bullshit, because what happened in Myanmar was anything but democratic. This is a military coup against the democratically elected civilian leadership in Myanmar. Right. So for the last 10 years, starting in 2011, there was civilian rule in Myanmar after years of military dictatorship. At some point, democratic leader, see if I can get this name right, Daw Aung San Suu Kyi, was reelected last November, back in November. See if this sounds familiar to anybody. Democratic leader was reelected last November with 83% of the vote.
Wow.
That's a pretty big deal. And remember, we're talking about Kyi as someone who is, for lack of a better term, part of the good guys in Myanmar.
Right.
I mean, she was and still is beloved in that country by the citizenry.
Obviously.
And so what happened is, in the intervening time between November and March, the military in Myanmar claimed that the election was fraudulent. And they declared, because the law in Myanmar says that the military can declare a state of emergency there, they declared a state of emergency, declared the election to be fraudulent. They arrested the democratically elected leader back in March. And that, of course, touched off massive protests, people taking to the streets to support Kyi. That's K-Y-I, by the way. And what happened as a consequence of those public protests is summary executions of the protesters. So military went out and started shooting protesters in the head. 600 protesters have been killed to date. Numerous others injured along the way. The former leader, now deposed by the military, is in custody awaiting a secret military trial. I mean, my God, if we need any further evidence, further proof that the Red Hats hate democracy by saying, let's do that here. A retired military general in the United States saying, yeah, you know what? We need to do what Myanmar did. We think that the election in November was fraudulent. So what we need to do is a military coup inside the United States. I mean, there's increasing talk now about how Trump is going to be reinstated in August, as I said. Sidney Powell said it, as I said before. Mike Lindell has said it. Now Mike Flynn is saying it. Trump, according to Maggie Haberman, the New York Times, Trump is saying it now, too. Maggie Haberman tweeted today, Trump has been telling a number of people he's been in contact with that he expects he will get reinstated by August. And of course, she added here in parenthetical, she said, no, that isn't how it works, but simply sharing the information.
Right.
But the question of the hour is this. Are they planning a military coup for August? Is this something that they're accidentally blabbing about?
It certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? And after what we saw on January 6th, I think we have to take it seriously. First of all, Mr. Flynn needs to be reminded we have a commander-in-chief in this country, whereas the civilian president clearly did not have that control over the military in Myanmar. Mr. Flynn is calling for the violent overthrow of this government. A lot of us are wondering, why hasn't he already been arrested and not just taken off Twitter, but why hasn't he actually been arrested for saying such a thing? And I know it, I can't call the name, I'm sorry. At least one elected Republican official has said the military is not doing its... Oh, no, I'm sorry, I take it back. Sometimes confused with an elected official. I believe it was Tucker Carlson who said the American military is not doing its job.
Yeah.
Has told viewers that if the military were worth its salt, it would take control of the U.S. government. So we're seeing this from all angles. I think we have to take it seriously. This is, as I said 2 weeks ago when I was here, that this is a very scary time. Democracy is as much at peril now as it was when Trump was president. And on these voter suppression laws, I will say again, had these laws that are being passed, even the ones been stalled in Texas, had these laws been in effect before the 2020 election, Trump would still be president.
Yep.
That's how serious this is. And because of these changes, could be, or his surrogate could be, in fact, instead.
And, you know, I caution by saying, Buzz, that some of this chatter from whether it's Trump or Sidney Powell or Mike Flynn, Mike Lindell, they're all nutbags. They're all fucked in the head. And so...
Dangerous nutbags.
Yeah, they're dangerous nutbags. So they could just be blowing smoke. They could just be trying to say what they need to say to the Red Hat disciples so that they'll keep pumping money into the Save America PAC or whatever it is.
I can't see how it's legal to blow that kind of smoke.
Yeah, I know. It can't possibly be, especially for a retired military leader to say, yes, we want to engage in a military coup, and to be so specific. Yeah, and by the way, it's going to be in August. You know, that's just a little fucking nuts and highly destabilizing for that to happen. And now you got, I mean, they're building a popular support for this thing. They're floating. These are called trial balloons in politics, or they're floating these up and see if they stick to the wall. And that's...
They're floating them at Fox. They're floating them through Flynn. You know, it's out there, and it's not just one or two guys. It's we're hearing it from more and more. You mentioned Trump. It's everywhere.
The absurdity of it is that these are people who couldn't win an election. They clearly can't win an argument, a verbal argument. The way democracy is set up is you debate the issues and whoever has the better argument wins. But now the Republican Party has been established so that, and this is obviously all wrapped into Trumpism, the Republican Party is now geared toward, well, we've lost the argument. We're losing voters. So fuck it. Let's start shooting people. Military coup. How about it? Right, and everyone goes,
They're coming at it from every angle. They're coming at it from the voter laws. They're coming at it with gun threats. Gun sales during the pandemic were up and have been up ever since. Even Democrats and progressives have been buying them. Some of them explained they bought them because, well, if we're going to be locked down, you know, so guns, we just have way, way, way too many guns out there. And too many people, 20% of America, off the deep end completely.
Yeah, yeah.
So what could possibly go wrong?
Well, there's the gun issue. At the same time, I wonder, too, how many Q adherents, how many Red Hats are already embedded inside the military? I mean, we have no sense, at least publicly, right. what the extent of this cult actually is, how deeply right. it has infiltrated it. God, you know, you feel a little bit like Joseph McCarthy. You feel a little bit weird going, you know what, we got to root out red hats from the military. But this is, we're not talking about just a political philosophy. We're talking about an active attempt to overthrow the rightfully elected government of the United States.
And an this imminent is, threat.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly right. So it's not just, it's not, and by the way, it's not happening in a fishbowl. It's not happening by itself in a vacuum.
Right.
This, we already saw what they have planned. There's already been one insurrection, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, to take them seriously, I think it's incumbent upon all of us. And certainly, I hope that a federal law enforcement, the FBI, I hope they're all aware of this and haven't been infiltrated too badly by the Red Hat cult. I mean, I guess the clock is ticking.
We all need to be very clear. The insurrection is not over. It did not end on January 6th.
Right.
It is still underway and apparently will run through August at least.
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, a five-alarm fire.
Yeah, and I hate to keep belaboring it. But on the other hand, you know, I'm like, then I remind myself, shit, well, they already did it once, and maybe this time they're going to correct their mistakes from the last time, and maybe they're going to get help, and so on. They may have had help last time, but I certainly hope that they're prepared for it. I hope that the government is ready for it, certainly the White House, for that matter.
At this point, the likelihood of it cannot be denied. You might have successfully doubted it before January 6th. You cannot doubt it now, especially with what we're seeing from Mike Flynn and Trump and Fox News and the rest of it.
Yeah. And, you know, on CNN, they were going around talking to some people outside the Q convention. A lot of people going, yes, we need to do what happened. We need to happen in Myanmar is where we got to go and do that thing. And this is like a lot of fucking Q idiots screaming about Myanmar when they probably couldn't even point to Myanmar on a map nor describe what exactly happened in Myanmar. They don't know how the process went down. I think they believe that the government was fraudulently elected and that whatever happened in Myanmar was to take the country back. They didn't realize it's a military fucking coup. I said Q.
it's easy to confuse them.
I know. A Q coup.
I think they believe that the military did it on behalf of the people of Myanmar. I think that, you know, they think it was a righteous coup.
Right.
Which is the best kind. But, I think we're looking at... I have enough faith in the military that despite the percentages there, I expect the percentage in the military would be much like the figure I cited earlier for the number of people who believe that there will be a storm is coming to remove evil from our government. And there 20% among the general pop, I think probably the same among enlisted and the military ranks themselves. So I would hope it's not too much worse there, but it's permeated our state and local governments. Mm-hmm. We have Q supporters at in state government and county government and city government now in much of the country. The fangs are deeply embedded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who's exacerbating all of this? Fucking Russia. Russia is sticking its nose in all this.
Putin loves it. Putin
happier. Remember Sergey Lavrov, you know, famous for the style of face makeup lent to Donald Trump, the Lavrov purple face makeup. We all remember the famous pictures. Well, Foreign Minister Lavrov said the other day, he said, we are closely watching the persecution of people involved in storming of the United States Capitol on January 6th, suggests the human rights of opposition are being violated. And so Lavrov, deeply concerned, Putin, deeply concerned about, you know, the human rights of the insurrectionists being violated.
For too many people, history is being rewritten in real time, and it's being rewritten as a lie, and you can witness it and be sick about it.
Yeah, and of course, we all know some of the reasons for this. I mean, we all understand how this gets started, because there's so many people out there who, and I don't want to get on this soapbox, so I'm only going to mention this briefly. There are so many people out there who just cannot digest information that they see on the internet. They just cannot handle it. They don't know what's right, what's wrong, what's fact, what's fiction. They can't discern those things anymore.
My favorite people are people who say to me, I can't tell what's the truth anymore.
Yes, exactly right. It's just like,
what? You know, you think one side puts kids in cages, the other doesn't, and you can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, as an example, the list could go on quite extensively.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about this latest poll question that showed that 73% of Republicans believe that the insurrection was actually Democrats trying to make Trump look bad. Mm-hmm. They believed it was left-wing protesters infiltrating as, you know, disguised as red hats. 73%. And I was thinking about someone I know, just asking them, well, what do you think? Do you think this was actually Trump supporters doing this, or do you think it was Antifa and BLM? LM, all liberals disguised as red hats? And I swear to God, the answer would invariably be, you know, I don't know what to think. Right. So you're exactly right. That is the whole point. The idea is to muddy the argument, muddy the facts so much that people just go, well, I don't know what's true. And that's all it takes. You know, it's Fox News. The goal of Fox News isn't to necessarily convince people of a specific argument. The goal of Fox News is to make the argument so muddy that people just don't give a shit anymore.
Right. And to create the illusion of another side to the story when there isn't, isn't one.
Or in this case, if everyone's an insurrectionist, then no one is, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal, to just confuse and upset people to the point where either they become radicalized or they simply check out of the political debate. And that seems to be playing out here in very large and dangerous ways. Okay, lots more to talk about. I have a fact check on the Matt Gaetz tape here in just a second. We're going to talk about that. Plus, of course, we have a little bit of news about...
It would be welcome if it was those guys.
I have a little news about
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
That guy. We're going to talk about that guy for just a brief minute, because some good news happening in Israel. So that's all coming your way on the rest of the show. Back with more podcast right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, if you ever catch yourself thinking when looking in the mirror, I wish my under-eye bags would just go away, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women. Until now, introducing my new favorite, the new GenuCell Serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote me, I've been using GenuCell for a couple months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love this product. I use it under my eyes, around the cheekbones, and on my eyelids. With its instant effects, Chamonix says you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. They guarantee it. Order now and save big on GenuCell's risk-free introductory offer. Go to lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. That's G-E-N-U-C-E-L. For an instant 10% off your order, order now. You'll get the amazing GenuCell XV face cream when you order the exclusive GenuCell most popular package at checkout. That's love, GenuCell.com/Stephanie. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie.
The Bob Seska Show.
Fucking love it. You know, I'm so glad. I get really happy every time someone submits some heavy metal to the show. And yeah, this is Abby K, just the letter K, a song called Pay Attention from Charlotte, North Carolina. And like me, she's a huge Iron Maiden fan and a bass player. Yeah.
AbbyKRocks.com to support her music. Holy shit. Brand new recording artist here on the show. Yeah.
I was just humming that bass line on my way over to the show today.
Well, yeah, we've got two bass players on today's show. We got a brand new single from Freak Bass coming up later. So looking forward to that. We premiered that on our Friday after party. But for those of you who aren't subscribed, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you? Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. Second of all, you missed the world premiere of the new Freak Bass single. So we're going to play a little bit of that for you later on in the show.
Tease.
Yeah, I love the bass players. Okay, so we were all talking about Matt Gaetz over the weekend and how he allegedly called for Second Amendment solutions for big tech. Which, you know, look, it's in keeping with other shit that they've said recently. I mean, we've heard on countless occasions about Second Amendment solutions for shit. You know, the theory, Buzz, if you can't win an argument, shoot someone. That's the Republican way.
If you feel threatened in any way, shoot someone.
Exactly right. Well, just a brief word about that. Apparently, Newsweek has looked into this video clip, and they have determined that Matt Gaetz didn't actually call for Second Amendment solutions for big tech executives. He actually said First Amendment, and then someone selectively edited, or deceptively edited in the word Second, like swapped out where he said Second Amendment later, put that in place of First Amendment. So.
Another fun thing about the age in which we live, and that is we really all have to be very vigilant for manipulated photos, manipulated videos, and manipulated audio.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. Say hello to me, Buzz. I fucked up last week, so this is another correction on my behalf. That video of Ted Cruz with the fly in his mouth, that was actually a fake. It didn't really happen.
But you see, and if it can be done with something as harmless as that, know that minds can be influenced by more serious memes.
Right.
It's kind of, I mean, I love a, despite the monologue, I love a joke more than anyone, but, we have to be very careful about what we believe. It's just what Bob said. Some people just can't process what they see on the internet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes shit comes down on Twitter and it's just, it's to me, it's just for comedic purposes. Yeah, that's funny shit.
That's right.
Ted Cruz eating a fly. Okay, we'll go with that. I'm not sure if it actually happened, but who cares? It's funny.
Rocky Mountain Mike retweeted that gif, I guess it is. And I commented, I know a Ted Cruz who swallowed a fly. I don't know why he swallowed a fly. Perhaps, ..
Shit. Oh, that's so good. Well, you know, the way I found out that this was not real is Facebook, for the first time ever, Facebook blurred out the screen grab of the video that I posted with Thursday's show. So I had a screen grab of the fly on Ted Cruz's lower lip. And
Facebook always looking out for our best interests.
Yeah, that's right. Facebook on top of things. Thank you, Facebook. And meanwhile, they're allowing like a million Dan Bongino posts to just fly freely throughout the internet. Sure. But they posted an alert over the photo saying, altered photo. Independent fact checkers say this information could mislead people. And then they have two buttons that say, one says CY, and then the other button says see photo. So it's like they can't even. All right, look, if the photo is fake, they should just blur it out and say that it's fake. But the option of looking at the photo still adds like a level we can fake. Still see it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fake. But if you want to see it anyway, we'll show you. Step around here.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, at the bottom of the comments, they posted a thing that said, fact check, does this video show Ted Cruz swallowing a fly on Fox News? Look, the fact that you can say, well, is this really a fly that Ted Cruz ate on Fox News Channel? That's still funny to me. So there's still some comedy value to it.
Oh, where are we without fun?
Absolutely. Yes. So Matt Gaetz didn't really call for Second Amendment solutions for big tech. So we can kind of take that off the list. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been ousted.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, every time I see that guy's name, Netanyahu, I want to say Netanyahu. And it's just... See, it's viral. The mispronunciation is absolutely viral. Yeah, so Bibi Netanyahu has been removed as Israel's prime minister, but he's not going to leave without a fight. He's trying to prevent the
opposition parties from taking power. There was like a coalition to oust him. And
multiple other parties who hate each other have bound together to oust Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And it should be noted and remembered about this man that he's part of, in my view, an authoritarian cabal that helped. It was Putin and with some assistance from Netanyahu to help Donald Trump. They got a little club going there, and it does my heart some good to see that club breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's one of the things, the main takeaways with this Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu story.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
One of the big takeaways is that the rising tide of autocracy in the world, and as you said, backed by Putin and so on, it seems like that wave is rolling back a little bit. And that is ultimately good news. There are obviously still people like Duterte and Erdogan and Bolsonaro in Brazil. Bolsonaro, holy shit. You want to talk about a guy who you can imagine at some
point, this guy,
Bolsonaro. You can imagine him at some point being arrested by a citizen overthrow and dragged behind a pickup truck through the streets of Rio or something like that. He is that absolutely despotic and one of the kinds. Yeah, because we've seen this in the past where dictators like Bolsonaro, they don't meet with very positive ends. They don't casually leave office after being such a nightmare for so many years. And in his case, obviously, a huge death toll because of COVID. Bolsonaro doing all the wrong things, probably puppeteered by Vladimir Putin. We certainly know, you know, guys like Erdogan and Duterte have some connections there. Certainly, I don't even know if Kim Jong-un is still alive. Has anyone heard from Kim Jong-un recently? I don't know. But wasn't there a rumor a year ago, Buzz, that he died from COVID? And they've got some sort of puppet pretending
to... It has been strangely quiet since then, and not much has gone. I think North Korea, did launch some missiles, I think, when Biden was elected.
Yeah.
But no sign of Kim, and nothing since. So, you raise an interesting point there. Where is that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I went there, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. We're not even sure that he's alive still, so he might not even be a factor.
He might not be. You've raised a good question.
We'll see. Well, I'll ask my contacts in North Korea. But meantime, this Red Hat Entertainment Complex freak out over Kamala Harris's tweet the other day. A couple things about all of that. First of all, it wasn't fucking Memorial Day. It was a day called Friday. Mm-hmm. So to say, enjoy your long weekend on a Friday is kind of what people say on Fridays before a 3-day weekend, right?
Right, right.
Plus, Kamala Harris has a long, long track record. I looked it up. You can find it on Twitter. Just search for Kamala Harris's account, not the VP account, but the at Kamala Harris account. Mm-hmm. Search for the words Memorial Day. You will find solemn, respectful, remembering the troops, honoring the troops, honoring the war dead and so on. You will find those messages going all the way back, I think, to like 2014, years and years and years, certainly as long as she's been in the federal government, she has done those things. And they have all been issued on the holiday of Memorial Day. No one says on the Friday before Memorial Day that, okay, on this day, let us remember our fallen soldiers in war. No one does that unless they're not going to be home or they're not going to be near a computer on Memorial Day. So,
well, it's typical Republican hypocrisy, but look what they did again. They got it out there. They got out there the idea, false or otherwise, that Kamala Harris does not honor the troops. Well, we know that to be false, but they got it out there. That's what they do. They manufacture falsehoods and they get them out there to, as you said, muddy the water, create doubt at a minimum. Or create conspiratists at a maximum.
Yeah, exactly. Well, remember, these are the suckers and losers people. They don't get to lecture anybody about patriotism after supporting the suckers and losers guy.
They don't believe he said that.
Yeah,
I know he did, but they don't believe it.
Right. But they don't necessarily have to accept something to be seen as raging hypocrites and unpatriotic rat bastards, cult members. They're willing to throw aside horrible, horrible remarks about our military made by the commander in chief of the military for the sake of supporting their guy. And so they're selling out their country. country to support Donald Trump is what they're doing, just by ignoring this particular piece of news, the suckers and losers story, which was, to me, unimpeachable. We're not talking about the New York Post or something like that. We're not talking about even the most left-wing podcasts or anything like that. We're talking about fucking Bob Woodward reported this. And so, yeah, that makes it extra legitimate. But
again, you know, they just deny that happened, and they get that out there, too. It's just they get that doubt out there. We need to be better about getting our message out there and more preemptively the way Republicans do.
We
need to play more like them and tougher and meaner. And I know you have Texas Democrats now appealing to Biden and to Washington lawmakers to get H.R. 1 passed, S-1 passed, the For the People Act, to protect voting, because they're screaming from, as they circle the drain in Texas, screaming for help. And it's now or never, kids. And I know there are a lot of progressives out there who are upset that they're not seeing more and more quick and more decisive action from the Democrats to shut all this down.
Yeah. Well, what they're seeing is they're seeing the possibility that maybe Joe Biden doesn't run again, doesn't run for re-election, and that the heir apparent will be Kamala Harris. So they're already starting to, you know, chip away at her. And this is something that we'll certainly see again if those events come to pass. But I don't think they're going to come to pass, first of all. I think Joe Biden's just going to be fine. He's going to be fine and dandy to run for re-election again.
They're still out there planting those seeds, those poisonous seeds. They're still out there planting them. And We've got to combat that, kids. We've got to do something about that. We can't just sit and continue to observe
that
they're out there. You know, and just a frustration. It's wonderful and important to express ourselves on Twitter. But if that's all you do, I have to question how much we're contributing. That's part of the job. Sure, that's fine. Tweet away, you know, post away on Facebook. But as we fight for democracy here, you may have to leave your house. You may have to go do something. And because that's how serious this is. I tried to impart that when I was here 2 weeks ago today. And it bears repeating every week that we have a big, big fight on our hands, and we need all persons on deck.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, you know, as we look at this Myanmar story, going back to the Mike Flynn thing and the idea of a coup in August, one of the things that happened right after the coup took place is thousands, if not millions, of people took to the streets to reinstate the democratically elected government there in, you know, opposition to the military dictatorship that rose up again. And I wonder if that kind of public outrage will occur here, if something similar happens here, heaven forbid. And I don't know. Actually, I ultimately went, yeah, you know, it's got to happen. And then part of me is going, I don't know, shit. We may just go about our lives or scream about it on Twitter and not do anything about it.
I could envision the military doing something about a guy like Trump. I just can't see them, no matter, even if there are 25% of the military who are Q.
Yeah.
I can't see a cohesive military taking on the American people.
I
don't see that happening. But then we've seen a lot of things lately that we didn't see coming.
Well, let's take one last break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you mentioned Joe Manchin and the filibuster and what's going to happen next with things like SB1. We're going to talk about that and a lot more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Everybody come on, let's get down.
Play that funky music, white boy.
yeah, my man Freakbase right here. There's a brand new single called Get Down. It's a great song for people re-emerging after being vaccinated. This is just a wonderful, wonderful track.
I love it.
Worth celebrating. One of our possibilities for Song of the Summer, I announced on the Indie Music Countdown yesterday. I said, you know what? In the comments, whether it's on Patreon or over under the Indie Music Countdown at the BobSeska.com website, add your selections, your nominees for Song of the Summer based on some of the tracks we played last month and certainly some of the tracks we've got on deck for June as well. Lots of great contenders, and this is certainly among them. And I'm already getting lots of nominees. Bunch of fans of Trisette, for example, have taken to the comments to get her latest song, Situations, along with Three Mind Blight, to be the Song of the Summer. And boy, it's great to see some participation happening with the Indie Music Countdown. Huh? All right, so let's talk about a little bit about Joe Manchin. We discussed this on Friday's after party, but it bears repeating for the free show audience that you know, I think it seems like Joe Manchin is just falling victim to the same old bullshit from the Republicans, the same old Charlie Brown football trick. Like, and to hear him actually describe what happened to him with the vote on the 1-6 commission is very revealing, where he was like, well, we agreed to all of their shit and they voted against it anyway. I don't know what's going on here. It's like, you fucking idiot, Joe Manchin. This is how they operate. This is what they do.
I think we've defended him in the past, but I think we can now question his intelligence, or at least his wisdom, because Joe Manchin has the power.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin could say to the Republicans, you know what, you're not going to even pass the reasonable proposal that I've put forth about revising the Voting Rights Act, and you're not going to support H.R. 1 or S.1 in this case. He has the power over them. He has leverage over the Republicans.
Yep.
And he should use it. He should threaten them. And why he hasn't, why he doesn't, and why Biden hasn't taken him aside, like I said a couple of weeks ago, that Biden should. I expected. I thought, well, you know what'll happen with Manchin and Sinema? Biden will have him up to the White House, have a little chat with him, and everything will be fine. Well, that hasn't happened either. And, you know, so I think even our incredibly wonderful president needs to focus on this a little bit more and be more never mind the word little, just be more aggressive in terms of doing the things that have to be done to save this democracy.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if Joe Biden has necessarily done that. We certainly haven't had any readouts along those lines in the press with regard to, oh, yeah, Joe Manchin was up at the White House and they had a meeting and it looked like it was contentious as Joe Manchin walked out looking grumpy or something like that. None of that has actually occurred. No. So I don't know. No. I don't know. But that certainly, and you kind of hit the nail on the head, Buzz, because that's the conversation that Joe Manchin should have had with Republican leadership. If you guys don't support this thing, I'm going to have no choice but to support the filibuster reform entirely.
Right.
So that should have been a bargaining chip that Joe Manchin played with the Republicans.
So, how bright is he? Did he read The Art of the Deal? I don't understand why he didn't understand what he has the power. He doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. So at this point, it makes no sense why Joe Manchin can't at least go, hey, you know what? Look, for the filibuster, I'm going to support this rule that says, the threshold isn't 60 votes for, it's got to be the 40 votes against. Make it so that the Republicans at least have to fucking show up. You know what happened the other day with the 1-6 commission? The people that got only 35 votes actually won the debate on that. 35% of the U.S. Senate controlled the U.S. Senate. That's not how majority rule works. And should at least
Something's wrong when that happens.
Exactly fucking right. So you change the rules from the 60 vote threshold to overcome a filibuster to the 40 votes in order to block the legislation. That seems
one of many possibilities, a lot of them good.
Yeah, exactly. So this is immensely frustrating, and it's one of those things where ultimately, I mean, this, again, doesn't necessarily address what's on the plate right now, but the one thing, the power that we have is that in 2022, And as you tell all of your Democratic friends, everyone you know who is registered to vote or not registered to vote, get them fucking registered to vote. You tell them that the way you overcome Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin is by just fucking outnumbering and out-hustling the Republicans in the 22 midterms, because we have the map on in our favor on the Democratic side. The Democrats have the map for 22. There are more seats that the Republicans have to defend than which the Democrats have
and
to defend.
And the Republicans see that, and that's why they're changing the voting rules, making it even possible for state executives to overturn the results of their state's election.
That's right.
That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we've urged people before to get out and vote. I don't know what to tell you. Democracy is at stake here. Like I said, you may have to leave the House to get this done. We need everybody involved in this.
Well, part of the problem is that if the election is close, then it's going to be, well, it's clearly fraudulent. If they find enough
even
wiggle room.
Even if it's not close. Yeah. Even if it's not close, they're going to challenge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. I mean, that's exactly fucking right. It doesn't matter how the election's going to turn out. They're going to challenge it. And they're going to say there was voter fraud and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And certainly Donald Trump will lead that drumbeat. And certainly all of his disciples will chime in. And whether Congress goes along with it or not still remains to be seen, but they're increasingly likely to do it because obviously they've shown a penchant for covering up what happened during the transition this past year and certainly what happened on January 6th. So doing that again is simply familiar territory for them. They've already set the precedent, and certainly there are no, well, there were five, but I mean, most Republicans have no interest whatsoever in accountability and making sure this never fucking happens again.
Democrats, this is their time to step up, and we're seeing more and more Democrats step up. The nail biter is, will enough of them step up and unify in time?
Yeah, exactly.
In time, because time is getting very tight here.
Well, I want to wrap up the show with some better news, some kind of good news, something to make us smile here.
Well, if you insist.
And I think I'm going to a bizarre source for making us smile. You won't think that necessarily Michael Cohen is full of kumbaya, great words of encouragement and advice for us normals and overcoming Trumpism and Donald Trump's threat and so on and the Republican Party surrounding him. But Michael Cohen was on MSNBC last week.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about Cy Vance's prosecution or Cy Vance's investigation right now. It's not a prosecution yet, but he's impaneled this grand jury looking at the Trump Organization. And they're starting to entertain the notion of racketeering charges, which is one of the latest bits of news. In fact, we looked at this a bit on Friday's After Party about how New York County, the Cy Vance is the district attorney for New York County, Manhattan, basically.
Right.
There is a law there that they refer to as, it sounds like a Donald Trump nickname for someone. It's called Little RICO. It's like a miniature state version of the federal statute called RICO, which is the which is aimed at racketeering, mostly mafia people. And
exactly. And I understand this is being conducted as you would a mafia investigation.
Yeah. And the great news about that, by the way, if there are Little RICO charges for Donald Trump and the Trump Organization, the minimum sentence is 1 to 3 years. In prison and state prisons. So Buzz, we could actually see Trump and Junior and Ivanka all sentenced to prison at Dannemora. You remember the Escape from Dannemora miniseries?
Dannemora.
Yeah, it's so great. That was a state prison in upstate New York, and it's possible that the Trump people will go there. And I love what they were talking about on the Stephanie Miller show the other day. Actually, in fact, I was on the Stephanie Miller show when this came up.
You happened to be there at the time.
Yeah, I was there. I almost forgot that. And we were joking that what will happen is if Eric tries to tunnel out of his cell in state prison, he'll just end up tunneling back into his own cell.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. I wonder what little Marco thinks about little Rico. Now that
someone should ask him.
That is a dad joke, okay? That's a dad joke.
Oh, yes, that's right. There you go. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to what Little Rico will bring us in the coming months, because this is... you know what? Fuck this music. I forgot to play. I had to play a Michael Cohen tape here from last week.
That's where we were.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is Michael Cohen from last week on MSNBC talking about the jeopardy that the Trumps are in.
2024 is 3 years away, and it's a very long time, especially when you have the district attorney and the attorney general's office breathing down your neck. They don't just have the documents that they got from the tax returns. They now have Rudy Giuliani documents as well. This is a multifaceted investigation. There's many tentacles here that are going to be grabbing at Trump, at Don Jr., Ivanka, Eric, the Kushners, you name it, and a host of other people. So I really do believe that they need to come down to, you know, they need to come back to reality.
You know, despite his previous conniving, despite being wrong and criminal, I find him charming.
You know what? He does have a little bit of charisma. Yes. It's weird to be saying this about the says who guy, the guy who for a couple of years there, we just relentlessly made fun of him because
I think, it might be fun to live next door, maybe barbecue occasionally.
But I mean, the great coincidence, or I should say we were kind of way ahead of the curve on this. We were talking about how Michael Cohen and the other Trump people just even if they're not mobbed up, which you kind of get the sense they are, but they act like they're mobbed up. They act like they want to be desperately in the mafia or something.
That's
like
what
that.
It is. They're wannabe mobsters. Absolutely.
Yeah. But and so we were having a lot of fun with Michael Cohen because he had that Goomba accent with the Goomba. You know, we got to stick with the family kind of shit. Says who and all the tough guy talk with the cigars and the expensive suits, you know, sitting on the street corner, sitting on the outdoor cafe, smoking their cigars. Such bullshit. But now suddenly Michael Cohen has had an epiphany. I guess prison will do that to you.
He's a bit humbler now, Bob.
Well, I mean, what happens is Donald Trump throws his people under the bus, and Michael Cohen said enough is enough at one point, at some point or another. And I still think it's going to happen. Rudy Giuliani will come to that realization. Rudy Giuliani will have that epiphany and say, you know what? This guy's not paying for my legal defense. This guy is hanging me out to dry. Fuck him.
Will he? Won't he? That's a very good. We should all, you know, put money on bets for that. Will he or won't he?
Yeah. Well, you already got Alan Weiselberg and Rob Lieberman and who's the other one? Matthew Calamari. Matty the Squid. Who knows if those guys are going to flip. My assumption is they've already flipped. I mean, those were guys who were named by Michael Cohen in his congressional testimony as knowing about Donald Trump's tax evasion and his insurance fraud and all of this inflating of assets and deflating of assets, depending on what he needs. They're all in on this. So is Don Jr. So is Eric. So is Ivanka. So is Jared. They're all in on it, and they're all culpable. They're all, oh, my God. As I said a million times, Buzz, I'd hate to be the guys who have to launder Donald Trump's shorts these days.
or any day over the last 20 years.
All right, don't forget to listen to the Indie Music Countdown. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah. Under the Bob Seska Show, just search for my name and you'll find it. Also, make sure to subscribe to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And don't forget your nominees for Song of the Summer at both BobSeska.com and our Patreon page. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.